Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome. Welcome to Essex Church, where this community called Kensington Unitarians meets each Sunday morning for worship, as well as for other activities during the week. Welcome to this, our Mothering Sunday service, which celebrates our human ability to care for one another and considers the women of the world. It was also International Women's Day 10 days ago on the 8th of March, and so today we'll also be recognising that event. But let's start with some words now by Richard Gilbert, in which he invites you to enter a circle of caring. His words seem to quite aptly express something, I think, of this gathering here. Come into our circle of caring. Come into this community of gentleness, of justice and love. Come and you shall be refreshed. Let the healing power of this gathering surround you. Let loving kindness and joy be within you. Let hope infuse you, and peace be the law of your heart. In this human circle, caring is a calling. All of us are called. So come into the circle of caring. On Wednesday, it will be the vernal or spring equinox, when day and night are of equal length. And so I'm lighting our chalice today in recognition of the passing seasons, in celebration of sunshine and the increased light that is encouraging bulbs to flower and birds to sing. And may we find our place in this unfolding natural cycle. And as day and night are balanced at this time, may we too find some sense of balance in our own lives. This service has bits of theology in it. And Alice, I'm glad you're reading this rather than me. God and gender.
Extracts from In Whose Image, God and Gender by Jan Aldridge Clanton. As we have seen in this study, neither the Bible nor Christian history limits God to the masculine gender. The Bible presents a remarkable variety of divine metaphors, many of them feminine. Leading theologians throughout the centuries have risen above the bias of their milieu to offer glimpses of a God larger than masculine gender. From St. Ambrose's Womb of God the Father to Paul Tillich's Ground of Being, we discover the possibility of progressing beyond gender concepts of God by including male and female. We can describe more fully and enlarge our experience of God through language that includes both genders. My study has revealed that inclusive God language has profound implications for the Christian Church. This language frees and empowers women and men to exercise their gifts within the Church. Women gain the self-confidence and autonomy to achieve, create, and lead. Men discover deeper capacities for spirituality, intimacy, and change. When the Church values women and men equally, it becomes a model of justice and peace. Although some advocate a time of exclusive use of feminine references to God to balance the centuries of masculine God language, my emphasis has been on expanding and enriching our doctrine of God through inclusive language. Changing the nature of the limitation upon God from masculine to feminine would be no permanent solution. However, including male and female in our metaphors for God offers fuller understanding of God and greater wholeness for humanity. Since human beings come in the form of one gender or the other, speaking of God and including both genders contributes to a doctrine of God beyond humanity. Calling God she focuses on the metaphoric nature of our language for God in ways that calling God he does not, because masculine references have become habitual. Feminine references jar us out of habits inconsistent with our theology. Balancing masculine and feminine references to God leads the imagination beyond anthropomorphism to a transcendent God.
Good. You're now in a relaxed state and can gently go off to sleep now, because I'm going to start by talking about post-structuralist theory. I'm not going to do very much of this because I don't understand it myself. But since this address is titled Half the World, I want first to mention the work of American philosopher Judith Butler, who would probably not approve of this title. If I tell you a few of the titles of her most famous books, Gender Trouble, Bodies That Matter, On the Discursive Limits of Sex, and Undoing Gender, well, you might get a sense of her areas of study: human identity, language, sexuality, gender. And although much of her work is completely incomprehensible to ordinary mortals, at least one idea did filter through in my classes at Theology College. And the idea is this: that because our biological sexual identity is so clearly defined as binary, as one or the other, so we identify ourselves and others as male or female, although Butler would actually say that even this defining is false, but because we do that, you're one or the other, we then fail to realise that gender and sexuality are actually socially and culturally constructed. So she would not approve of my title, Half the World, because she'd say it's an illusion to think of a simple duality of men or women. It's far more real, Butler would say, to see gender and sexuality on a continuum, and therefore far more fluid than we might sometimes suppose. Now, let us see how many of you go rushing off to your local bookshops or to the internet to find more of Butler's work. And of course, we do live in a remarkably rigid world, I think. When I was a girl and now as a woman, I am still surprised and saddened by the life inequalities that cluster around gender. I started work a long, long, long time ago, as I know some of you did. It was before equal pay legislation, when my boyfriend Dave and I worked in a pub in 1972, he was paid a princely 12p an hour, and I only got 10p an hour. Can I have a show of hands for anyone else who has experienced pay inequality in their lives? Yes, many of us will have stories to tell. And despite legislation, as we all well know, here even in the UK, women still earn less than men. Around the world, Fewer girls than boys are educated, especially as they move into secondary or higher education. Two-thirds of the illiterate people in the world are women. Women hold 16% of seats in parliaments and other legislative bodies around the world. 16%. In no country of the world are there equal numbers of men and women on legislative bodies. Back here in Britain, on average, two women are killed every week by partners or ex-partners. One in four women will experience domestic violence in their lifetime. It's worth a moment of thought, that one. And I know that you will be well aware of many other inequalities that feel wrong to you. On a lighter note, for example, as a woman, I won't be able to apply for the soon-to-be-vacant post of Archbishop of Canterbury. It's a fabulous job. Yeah, nice house. Well, we live in a world of inequalities, And yet, we also live in a world where nothing stays the same. Last year, 2011, was the 100th anniversary of the founding of International Women's Day. And it was moving to realise just how much had been achieved in the last 100 years. The majority of women now have the right to vote and to own their own property. The concept of women and children as the possessions of men has diminished, although it's still far from being eradicated the world over. Women's lives have broadened, and so have men's. I'm heartened to see just how many young fathers actively are involved in the care of their children, for example, in a way that just wasn't done in my father's generation, by and large. That ability to care and nurture has, I hope, now been recognised as a human and not a gender-specific skill. And I wonder, looking around, how issues of inequality have touched your lives, and what are the burning issues that you were aware of today? What are the issues that are important? Yeah, much has been achieved, and there's always more to work upon. I chose to tell that story of Pandora's box this morning, partly because it contains an element of blame in it, doesn't it? Blaming a woman for something that's gone wrong. It's Pandora's curiosity that's held responsible for releasing all the troubles of the world. And does that remind you of the story of the beginning of the world in the Judeo-Christian tradition, where all is hunky-dory in the Garden of Eden until Eve listens to that snake? She picks the apple from the tree of knowledge, and then she tempts Adam to take a bite. Now, scholars tell us that our myths reveal deep truths about how we humans view our lives and our world. So what ancient concerns do these stories of Pandora and Eve reveal? Is there something about the role of women in the creation of future generations that has us as a species be perhaps somewhat afraid of women's power? For the one who creates can also destroy. Do we then find ways to reduce that power through inequalities in our institutions and ways of living? Who knows? But what I do know is that it's the very sense of curiosity and adventure and risk-taking shown by both Eve and Pandora that makes us humans the inventive and evolving species that we are. And aren't these the qualities that we actually want to encourage in our youngsters, in girls as well as boys? We need young people to be problem solvers, finders of new ways of being, able to challenge all that is seemingly written in stone, holding old ways and beliefs up to the light to be considered and questioned and properly revised. You might have heard of Sojourner Truth, a famous American abolitionist born into slavery who eventually escaped with her infant child. And her description of that was interestingly enough. She was described by somebody as running away from slavery, and she said, "No, no. Running away gives completely the wrong impression. I walked away." Strong woman. She had to leave one of her other children in slavery, and she took that case to court, and she was the first black woman to win a court case against a white man. Sojourner Truth wrote these inspirational words about the need to work on reforming our world, and she referred to Eve in that Garden of Eden. "If the first woman God ever made was strong enough to turn the world upside down all alone, well, these women ought to be able to turn it back and get it right side up again." That is the power of women. There was a time when it seemed inconceivable that slavery could be ended in the United States. Eventually it was. There was a time here in England when it seemed inconceivable that women would be allowed to vote. And eventually they were. These are the past issues, but what are the issues of our day? I mentioned the statistics earlier on about the levels of domestic violence here in England today. And I know you share my concern that services for women, for victims of domestic violence, are actually being cut at the moment rather than expanded. A number of women's refuges are having to close their doors as their funding's been reduced. I know you share my concern about the increasing sexualisation of girls, the cynical marketing of age-inappropriate clothing and so-called beauty products for children, the holding of beauty pageants, the fuelling of obsession with appearance such that the biggest growth area for cosmetic surgery is amongst teenage girls. Heaven help them. Again, in this country, we're even now debating issues of equality with regard to marriage and same-sex relationships. Change is in the air. And the issues affecting women in other countries, where do we begin? These inequalities may seem intractable, and yet with care and concern, those women might one day experience some of the freedoms I, for one, take for granted. For nothing stays the same in our world, and by our words and our deeds, we sometimes have the power to steer the course of these changes. It does matter how we speak. It does matter how we behave. It does matter even how we think. And I, for one, am glad to be part of a community such as ours that explores issues of justice and equality, a community based on love. Amen. So, as we return to the rhythms of our daily lives, let us believe in our power to make change possible, to give encouragement to others, to touch the anxieties and troubles of those we know. For we each have the power to heal and to comfort. So maybe we be aware of our power. We each have the power to shape our world. May we use our power well. Amen.